May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Come and see. These are the words of invitation that Jesus issues to two novice disciples in the middle of the Judean countryside. They have asked him where he is staying, and his response is, come and see. Yet this response is more than just an invitation to his place of residence. It's an invitation into something completely life-changing. And as the disciples accept this invitation, they realize that this person, Jesus, is really the Messiah. John wants us to know very early in his gospel that Jesus' ministry among us is something that requires something of us. After that beautiful theological prologue setting up John's understanding of Jesus, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. After that theological grounding, John jumps right into a narrative about how Jesus gathers his disciples, which tells us how important this point is to John. Right from the beginning, he answers, one, who Jesus is, and two, what Jesus will require of us. It's this process of invitation, this process of relationship. Come and see. We started off this program year introducing you to a theme for our year, which is something we always do. And so now that we are halfway through the program year, it's a good time to rehash it. And our theme this year takes the form of a fourfold rule of life. Come, see, go, be. Four actions that are part of our life of discipleship. A rule of life is a technique that many Christians use to help guide how they act in the world. Many monastic communities use a rule of life to guide their community life, but these rules don't have to look as rigorous as being a monk. And our bishop has actually asked that members of our diocese work on developing a rule of life and to see how that changes their faith. So perhaps come, see, go, be as a starting point to help you develop your own rule. And you might have noticed that the first two words in this fourfold pattern sound awfully familiar to Jesus' words this morning, come and see. And if we separate those two words apart, we see that the first part of Jesus' command is about actually making the choice to accept the invitation to come, to show up, to be in the presence of Jesus, however that might happen. And that's something the two disciples do in John's account, and they are forever changed by it. The second part of the command is to experience the love of God, to experience the words of Jesus, to see how this powerful love is real in the world. And the disciples see and experience the kind of messiahship that Jesus is bringing into the world. Continuing on with our rule of life, the next word for us is go. It's a word that acknowledges that something about the love of God requires us to not just stay stationary in it as much as we might want to. We are required to go out into the world transformed by that love because the world needs to see it. And then finally, we have the word be. It's a word that tells us that we have to embody that love wherever we are in the world, to be the presence of Christ in the world, to be the love of God in the world. Come, see, go, be. If I had to pick a point where we often get stuck in this particular rule of life, it would be the halfway mark. Somewhere between see and go. There's such an inclination to stay there in the presence of God, the glow of God, to stay in the comfort of Jesus, to stay at that mountaintop experience where all is clear and peace abounds. It can be hard to pull ourselves from such a place, but in crafting this rule of life, in looking at all that Jesus asks of his disciples, we know that a big part of discipleship is about going. It's about taking the love that we have experienced out into the world. Former Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, writes about this notion of going, of being sent, as having an expectation of growth within Christian discipleship. And his book, Being Disciples, which is the book for the Rector's Book Study this month, is one of my favorite little books about what it takes to live a Christian life. And he writes this: "Am I expecting to grow in the life of the Spirit? It's a sad reflection on any Christian if we come to the point of thinking, well, I've done my spiritual growing. I've reached a point that suits me. I've found a style of discipleship that I'm comfortable with." Yes, it's important to find a way of being, praying, speaking, singing, worshiping that you can live with. But we have to be very careful about confusing that settling down with something that won't stretch or challenge us. We need to ask whether we come to prayer and try to live as Christ's disciples in the expectation of being stretched. Do I expect there to be a bit more of me at the end of a period of prayer or worship than there was at the beginning? Because that is really what it's about, whether there will be a little more of me afterwards. We have to go on in the sometimes rather demanding trust that we are being pushed, pulled, enlarged in that process. Bit by bit, approaching our prayer and discipleship with the expectation that we will be, gently and sometimes not so gently, urged towards that new level of life. I love that idea. If worship is part of the way we experience God, part of the way we see God's goodness, then part of what worship needs to do is to stretch us, to help us grow. So then, moving to the next part of our rule, that stretching is what prepares us to go and be, to embody the love of God, to seek out the places where God is calling us to show up and speak that love into the world. I've been thinking a lot recently about the times we're in and how the polarization around us is partly a product of stagnation, of this inability to stretch. We've become encamped in different positions and ideas, and anyone that tries to push past that stagnation suddenly becomes a lightning rod. One camp might say they've gone too far, and the other says they haven't gone far enough. Both are products of stagnation, both failures to see the opportunity for growth, for stretching. You might think, with such times, it would be difficult to have to be someone who gets up and speaks out into the world every week, or at least every other week. And in some ways, it is. But in other ways, it really isn't. Someone asked me recently how I know what I'm going to say each week in my sermons. And I somewhat jokingly said, "Well, we have this thing called the Bible. And it's filled with really good things." But seriously, I mean, that's the task of preaching. That's the task of our worship services, to take these ancient texts, these stories of God's involvement with humanity, and point out the ways that they are still very much alive in our world today, to point out the ways that they are calling us to stretch our understandings of love. So sure, it can be tricky to have to figure out what to say as new calamities befall us, as divisions new and old rear their ugly heads. But if I've done my job, in anchoring the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart in my understandings of Jesus Christ, well, then I have no worry about what I am to say. Now, I'm aware that many of you do not get to practice the art of preaching as often as I do, at least not in the way that I do, with these fancy robes and this wonderful stone pulpit here. I say this more to make the point that when Noah or Vince or I stand here and preach something that makes you uncomfortable, something that challenges you, something that strikes at your understanding of the world, we're never attempting to preach from any one political side, worldview, or entrenched camp. We're attempting, to the best of our ability, to apply the love of God to a world in a way that makes sense with what we have seen of God's goodness. Meaning that we're attempting to give us something to grow on, trusting that we likely need to grow in that area too. We're trying to give us something that stretches us all, with the hope that afterward there might be a little bit more of us to give, as Rowan Williams puts it. Like I said, you might not preach the way I do, but you do preach. Maybe with words and maybe without. We all preach by the way we live our lives, which often says more about what we believe than what we say we believe actually does. Which is why establishing a rule of life can help make sure that the sermons we're giving actually match the love we profess. So when Jesus, at the beginning of John's Gospel, issues an invitation to come and see, he's not just saying that to two fledgling disciples. He's saying that to us. Come and see. Come and see the life I want you to live. Come and experience the growth, the change, the transformation. Come and see the ways in which you, with your witness to love, can break open the bonds of stagnation and polarization. Come and see a glimpse of the kingdom. Come and see how good it is. But he doesn't just need us to see it. He needs us to be it. We have to go and be. That's the piece that requires us to grow. That's the piece that requires us to change. That's the piece that stretches us past our self-imposed comfort points and puts us out in the world to be the body of Christ, to be the change, to be the peace, to be the love, to be the grace, to be the healing, to preach with the sermons of our lives a message that says that the good news of Jesus Christ is still very much alive in this world today, and that the love of God is an unstoppable force that will conquer all that brings hurt and pain and destruction to this world. I don't know what those two disciples saw on the side of the road in the Judean countryside. I don't know what they experienced that revealed to them that the person standing in front of them is the Messiah, the one who would come and change anything and everything. But I would bet, just like us, they were not fully prepared for what comes next. I would bet that they weren't quite limber enough for the task ahead. But to trust in the goodness of God is to trust that we are indeed enough. It is to trust that there is enough of us to stretch and grow, so that we can engage the world in a love unlike anything else. May the words of your mouth and the meditations of your heart and the actions of your lives bear witness to that love. Amen.